So you received your Elmer Fudd in the 4 p.m. hour.
I did.
Half chance.
We have
chance.
Another recipient going on the Wall of Fame.
There were a couple of examples last night. Ray was on, and I had never heard this term before, top bins. Apparently very soccer-esque term.
And his kids like it.
Well, all
Ray
the
has,
kids.
Yeah, Ray has a soccer background because his kids are involved in it.
Right, and I guess that's kind of where the genesis of this came from. But it's big in the soccer community.
Wow.
And Ray said, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to drop a top bins last night. And this is what went down during the game last night.
Self-inflicted wounds really hurt the Senators. Eric Brandstrom turns the puck over. Antoine Wurtzel goes top bins and makes it 1-0.
There it is. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, the most recent recipient of the prestigious Elmer Fudd Award, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Do I get like one of those red and black checked hunting hats for it that he wore?
That's what we should hand out.
That would be amazing.
That's the award.
Yeah, with
be.
The ear flaps?
Yes. Pull them down, take a picture, and put it out.
That's a great idea. Yeah, we're going to do that.
You know how teams, like the Leafs are handing out the ball and other teams hand out the hard hat or the belt or whatever? We hand out the hat.
But where
take
are we going to go with this from here? I mean,
well, who else can we? Like, it's easy to get
Chris
you guys.
Cuthbert is going to do something
no,
like that. He won't.
That's the problem. Like, they have integrity and they're professional. So
that's true.
It's easy to get Noodles and Ray
saying,
to do it.
This is like a 2-day thing for us.
No,
and it's over.
No. I feel like there are other ways.
But what? Noodles, don't you think you could, if you hear something in a basketball game, if one of the basketball guys pulls something off that you really like, they could be awarded an Elmer Fudd Award.
Yeah, that's
true. I know,
true.
But the difference, Ray, is you and Jamie said, yeah, we can do that. They will tell us to screw off.
He's saying just listen for it. If you hear something that's out of the ordinary, then maybe we hand out the Elmer Fudd.
Like, Jack, obviously, get that garbage out of here. But, I mean,
you know you're hearing
but
that.
But that's his thing, yeah. I'm not sure.
It's got to be. I think we can work on this because this could be a prestigious award. It could be like once a month you hand out the Fudd for the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't see why not.
We could send Gary Thorne one for his sound bite of what was
no,
it?
No, I've had enough.
Nope, I've had enough. It's a great Fudd.
That is an absolute Fudd. That was the first Fudd of the year.
Yeah. That laid the groundwork for all Fudds.
Do you remember how annoyed he was?
So angry.
No, I've had enough.
Because the night before, his team had gotten rinsed, and he was so irritated. Wasn't it like a ground ball?
It was a pop fly. It was a routine play.
Yeah.
A routine play. It was like game 148 on the season, and he starts yelling. You learn that in spring training.
For the love of gracious, come on.
The best part about it, or one of the great parts about it to me, is like his voice is so good. Like, if somebody else said, no, I've had enough, it wouldn't be as good as that when he does it.
It's so natural, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a natural, perfect voice.
No, I've had enough.
Yeah, he's the man, Gary Thorne. So we got some news here in Toronto. Before, I guess, you know, we can look back on last night, but we're already looking ahead to the game tonight with Colorado in town. And Freddie Anderson throwing sports science to the wind. I guess he went in with Sheldon Keefe earlier today, or maybe on the plane back home last night, and said, I want to play. So he's going to play tonight. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't really have a problem with it. Other goalies can play back-to-back, but I still think where the sports science stuff comes in, and we can make fun of it, is that, but it does matter, in my opinion anyway, is that you look at his total workload. So, okay, he's playing Tuesday and Wednesday. We're certainly not going to go on the ice Thursday. What is he doing Friday? Is he playing Saturday? Or does he get Saturday off and now he's got 5 days off? Is it not just total workload, not whether it's back-to-back? It doesn't have to happen all the time, but, man, they got kicked in the pants last night. That was, you know, I think if they had a different backup goalie or a different backup goalie situation, it might be different. But coming off that game, do you really want Hutchinson to start tonight?
No, you certainly don't. And I think if they're Boston 23-5, you're like, who cares? We're moving on. Like, we didn't like it, but Halak, you're up tonight. But the Leafs, they don't have that luxury. I think this speaks to Freddie Anderson having perspective. He's not saying, hey, we're 4-2 under Sheldon Keefe. No, we're 13-12-4 on the season, and we're fighting for our lives, and it's December 4th. That's what it says to me.
He's got every point but one this year.
Right.
In net. Like, that's a... Like, you can talk about other things that have happened, and the D could be better, and CC could be playing better, and, you know, they could have better balance through the bottom of their lineup, whatever it is. But they've been really harmed by the fact that nobody else can get a point for them. Jamie, you talk about it all the time, about what you used to think about when you were backing up, and it's not just to go and keep the crease warm. You had to win a certain percentage of points you felt to be effective.
Yeah.
And they're not even close, and it's hurt. It's clearly not just an afterthought. It's clearly hurt the way that the Leafs sit in the standings.
To me, as a backup, having a really good season is being .500, because you are getting some of the crappy assignments, and there are going to be nights where it's just the team doesn't have it. You got to go out and either steal one or give them an opportunity. But Curtis McElhinney did it. Like, in a couple years ago, I was telling the guys off air, the Edmonton Oilers, who weren't very good that season, or maybe they were, they came in here and put up 41 shots, and McElhinney shut them out, and they won nothing. We haven't seen those types of performances from a backup since he was here. And that's what you want, the backup to at least have that confidence where the coach goes, yeah, we want to give Freddie the night off, and we're not just mailing in the 2 points. Like, we think this guy can get us 2 points. And I before the Freddie news came out, I was saying to the guys off air, doesn't matter what type of effort that the Leafs put up tonight, the goaltender has to deliver 2 points. Well, now I'm looking at the team saying they've got to respond for Freddie Anderson, because they quit on him last night with 2.5 minutes left.
Well, we were just getting ready to get going in Vancouver, and the game was 2-1. And then, you know, we saw the quick one that made it 3-1. And then, you know, I refreshed things, and it was 6-1. I'm like, oh, they must have got a bunch of empty netters. And I'm like, but that's a mess, what happened at the end last night. It's embarrassing. And those guys should be pumped today that Anderson's saying, yeah, I'm going to play again. Like, aside from Marner, which is exciting, this should be, like, they should feel like, man, this guy's going to the wall for us. It should be a motivating factor for them, for sure.
Ray, where are you at with Austin Matthews' game? I mean, he has the stats. I mean, it looks like he's going to get 30 or 40 goals and probably 85 points, but... there's just nights where it's, I don't know, it's he's so much better than being an opportunistic player than scoring a goal in the third period.
I'm so with you, O, that when I watch him play and then I look at his numbers, I'm like, well, they don't equate. Because I know just from the times that I watch when I'm right on the ice there and you see him skate, like when he's really skating, you're like, oh, my God, is... impact of the game is really, it's all over the ice because he's so big and so powerful. And then he has a play there where he waves at that guy on the sidewall, and the guy just skates right by him. He's standing around in that group of guys where the pass comes from behind the net and it gets chipped into the net. Like, there are times it seems like, I don't know if this is the right term, or it's like he kind of fogs out for a minute. Like, he's not like quite connected to what he needs to be doing for a space of time. Like, I think he's really good, but I think he could be so much better.
Me too.
Well, and you know, this comparing and contrasting of Keefe and Babcock kept emphasizing defense. We're gonna get him to a point where Matthews is the best two-way player in the league, and I don't know if he actually believed that, but he felt that it was important to say it, and I'm sure he was trying to preach it to him. I can't imagine Keefe is going to do anything differently. Like, Sheldon Keefe is no different than any other coach. It starts in your own end. And the messaging publicly has been a little bit different, where Babcock, you knew what he was all about.
Yeah, but Ray's right. Talked about it. You don't have to. Everyone can't be a 200-foot player, but he's got to be 85.
But, yeah, yes, you have to be 85, but at 11'6", you kind of have to be 200.
But
like, Nylander... Kapanen, they can maybe be 85 or, you know, 150, whatever you want to call it. But
right.
But he needs to be more terrifying on the ice. Like, I'm in Edmonton tonight, and I'm assuming that the Senators' defensemen are not very excited to see Connor McDavid.
Right.
No. Well,
or Leon Draisaitl. And I wouldn't say either one of them are going to win the Selke, but they're terrifying on the ice. And there's too much where, too many times, I don't think Matthews brings that fear to the opponent. Because he's got it. Like, when I have this image of him scoring, like coming over the, or coming through the neutral zone when he's like, you know, he's got that wide stride and he's really powerful and just chews up the ice over the line and he rips a shot and he scores. And I can't even remember the last time that's happened.
No. It's true, though. That's exactly right. Okay, if you're not going to win a Selke, and no one's expecting that necessarily, you better have, you know, double the opportunities the other way. Where you are striking fear into your opponent.
I agree. And I keep thinking there's a time along the way where the light went on for Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a terrifying player. He's a guy who can dominate a shift physically by holding on to the puck and driving the net and distributing the puck. That, I would argue, 18 months ago, you saw spurts of it, but you didn't see it nightly. Now you see it nightly with Draisaitl, because I think the light went on that, hey, I know what I'm capable of out here. And I'm bigger and stronger and just as fast, if not faster, and I shoot the puck. He's got all the tools. That's where I think people envision Austin Matthews doing that nightly, if you would say the light isn't on yet. And I, you know, at 22, Draisaitl, I think, is 23. Is he not, Ray?
Not far off.
Yeah, they're a year ahead. But guys arrive at different times. And to me, when I watch Draisaitl, a big, powerful man, dominate a game, I think Matthews is capable of that and has the ability to do that. Can he do that consistently? That would be the million-dollar question.
$11.6 million question.
Yeah, but it's interesting to me when you lay it out like that, Noodles, is that really the only limiting factor would be himself. Like, would be your commitment to doing it.
Right.
Because he's already got the size. He's certainly got the skill. He's got the skating ability. He's got the want. He's just got to have the want more frequently. And I don't know, maybe things have come so easily all the time. Like, he scores all the time. His numbers are always great. But there's just more there. Like, to me it's really obvious there's more there. It's, you know, how do you draw it out on a more consistent basis?
Well, I mean, tonight he's got a matchup with a guy who terrorizes the NHL every night.
Oh, does he ever?
Like, McKinnon is basically a right shot at McDavid. The way skate a little bit differently.
There's not a lot of difference, man.
They're explosive. Like, if they're bombing down the sideboard, you're in big trouble.
But
he stops up a little
McKinnon
bit more.
McKinnon wants middle ice. Like, he actually thrives there. Like, he wants to cut to the middle.
He's like McDavid, though, where he doesn't care what the ice is. He'll go wherever you want.
But he's physically stronger.
Oh, yeah, he's
say,
bigger.
I'm going here
he's
and
bigger.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, I love watching when McKinnon picks up a head of steam.
Oof.
And unlike any other player in the game, as he's going, I don't know how fast he ever goes, but, you know, going at that speed, he's handling the puck at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a guy stick handle more going at an incredible rate of speed.
When I was skating at my fastest, Ray, I had to shovel the puck ahead like a peewee player. Like, stick ahead and pushing it. I could boogie. I could get going, but I wasn't stick handling.
I felt like a lumberjack when I tried to stick handle hard, like fast. It was like clunk, 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 clunk. And he does it, and it's like so smooth, almost Marner-like quickness of the hands. Marner's way more tricky, right? But, like, McKinnon does it with such power. And without Landeskog, now he's got Rantanen back. If these guys have their game, what a load they are to try and defend. They're so big and so strong. It's like you cannot box them out. You can't keep them away from the net. And they're one of the top duos in the league. When they play together, they're one of the top four or five duels, you could say that when those guys are on the ice, they're as good as anybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rantanen, he's not a household name yet. Like, people that track the game closely, they're aware of what he's all about. But the average fan probably doesn't, you know, track him every single night. He's a poor man's Jager. That's what I see.
Yeah,
he's
6'4".
Yeah, well, exactly.
Big and strong, and
but he's skilled, man. Yeah. Like he'll use his body. It'll be a one man cycle, and then a backhand sauce to the slot. Like it's not a package you see very often.
No, you're right.
Like he's that good.
But you can. But where Toronto can, if they're going to make this game go their way tonight. Where they make their game is in their zone. Colorado can still get a little bumpy in their zone. I think they're missing a couple of guys tonight, but they're not defensively. They're not a lock it down team, but they're fast and they can bump you physically a bit, and they'll be a more than a little bit of a challenge, I would think.
Well, it's been pretty evident Sheldon Keefe has been doing the opposite of Mike Babcock. In a lot of areas, I think it's worked successfully.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing he's decided to stick to is playing Morgan Rielly and Cody Ceci as a pairing, and playing them up against the best competition for 20 plus minutes a night. And I don't understand why he hasn't decided to change that up.
What other option?
Anything. Like honestly, last night was so bad. Those two.
Well, where are you at with the comments of Kyle Dubas? Because do you remember it wasn't that long ago? Was that 2 weeks ago where he came out and said Cody Ceci's underlying numbers
not
a lot
anymore.
Anymore. I know, but I'm just telling you, they have their own data, whether they believe it or not, or if he's trying to build Cody Ceci up for something else. It's just they see something that we're not. That obviously,
yeah.
That pair can't, it appears, that we're seeing it, they can't handle the other team's top lines. So what are your options? You can move Dermott to the right side there, or you got Justin Hall, because you're not going to play Barry there.
There's no option.
That's what I mean. There is really, like, I don't know. Hall is really the best option because he's right-handed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe you try Muzzin again. Muzzin with Barry. I think Muzzin with Rielly.
I think their hope is that Dermott gets there. Like, I didn't mind his game early on. He had a couple mistakes yesterday. Yeah.
Bad pinch
and that. He, you know, closes off the wall. But that was a nice pass by Meyer.
I was
going to
say, that's tough to say a bad pinch. That was an unbelievable pass.
It was a really nice play by
Meyer
to get it.
But it's one of those 1 in 10 passes that gets to the guy.
But I didn't mind his game. I think Dermott's a guy who's coming along. And they're hoping he can get higher in the lineup consistently. Like, that's somebody I think they're going, you know, give us 20 games here, and maybe that's a guy who supplants somebody in that top four. That's,
okay, so let's look at this, Noodle. So say Dermott is that guy.
Yeah.
So now you've got, you know, it's going to be on the right side because Muzzin and Rielly are on the left.
Correct.
So now you're going to have two right-handers in your bottom pair. How many right-handers? I don't know why. I mean, I literally don't have an explanation. But why don't any right-handers play the left side? It seems like it's never done or very rarely done.
Yeah.
Well, it was done in Winnipeg when they had the big three, if you call them that. Remember their Buff, who was
Trouba and Myers.
They were shifting them around because I think Trouba was pissed he wasn't playing in that top pairing, so they put him on the left side. But I can't remember off the top of my head if I can. You know, think of a snapshot of the league right now, a right-handed defenseman playing on the left side. I don't
very
think
rare.
Of, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if they're looking around, but one of the other issues they have is if they're looking around at another option externally, is as with the backup goalie, they have no cap space. None.
Yep.
So whatever they trade out is all that they can bring back in. And, you know, so you can't even say, oh, let's trade a second-round pick for a defenseman to, you know, to boost our defense. You can't do that. You don't have enough cap room. I keep reading these articles, you know, maybe the Leafs will go down to 20 players, you know, to save cap space. Well, that's great till somebody gets the flu and warm-up, and then you're short-handed. And you can say, oh, yeah, well, you could do that for one game. Then you got a four-game road trip. You can't go on the road with 20 guys.
You're so right.
they've got legit issues to build the roster to be a really competitive roster. And I don't know what the solution is, but at some point they've got to free up some cap space here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We'll start with tonight against Colorado. Nazem Kadri making his return. Enjoy that one. Enjoy the FUD. Make sure you just cherish that award. It's truly a spectacular award. And
I don't know where you get the hat, but I want somebody to get make the effort to go get the hat. We could take a picture. Like I think this is it's really one of the most prestigious things I've ever won.
We'll get Carlo's brother to make it. He made us hoodies today, T-shirt gang. He'll make us hats for the FUD.
Okay, there you go. It's already the wheels are in motion here.
See how quickly things happen on Overdrive.
Yeah. Well, it's just three geniuses, and then you join us, and we have three and a half.
They're up for sale on Amazon.
We got to go through Carlo's brother.
All right.
The He'll T-shirt gang. He'll do it for us. He'll there make him. What are we calling him? The
FUD. The Elmer FUD. I don't know.
The FUD hat? Like, that sounds... The
a FUDDY. A FUDDY.
A FUDDY.
A FUDDY. Like footy. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There we got
it's
it.
Brilliant!
All right, buddy. You'll get your funny soon. There he is.
Okay, boys.
Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive $500 Vaughn Mills gift cards when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland.